Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations.
And let's sing this together.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Of our praise, and he gave us his Son to bridge the gap between us. Let's sing hallelujah, praise his name this morning.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. Is written, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Who could imagine
so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me, and you have broken every chain. My living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the
seated as we continue in worship.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. And all I have within me, I give you praise. And all that I adore is in you.
Sing, Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Have your way,
and this is my desire to honor you. And Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all I have, I give you grace, and all that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. That I take, every moment I'm away. my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your have your way in me. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee.
Amen. Psalm 150 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree.
His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by Messiah still and all alone.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King.
Sing with us this morning.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God.
blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Would you stand? Let's sing a praise the name of the Lord our God.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you recognize today, but we have sang continually praising the name of Jesus. And the reason for that is that we are in Ephesians chapter 3, and believe it or not, we're going to finish Ephesians chapter 3 today. And at the end of this prayer, Paul has a doxology of praise to God. And so what did we do today in corresponding with this word from the Lord is sing praises to the Lord. So let's start by opening up our Bibles. If you have them, I hope you do. Open to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read the whole prayer of Paul, but we're going to be in the last two verses. As I said, we are finishing chapter 3. We'll kick off chapter 4 next week. You may say, David, you're going way too slow through Ephesians. Some may say, David, you're going way too fast through Ephesians. And I'm just going to say we're going in God's timing through Ephesians. Amen? Amen. Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to the end. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your agape, unconditional love for us. Father, I thank You for the Holy Spirit, who is our tutor and our guide. Now, Father, as we open up Your word today, may we praise Your holy name. Father, illuminate the pages, and may we walk in obedience of Your word. May we shema, listen, and obey. Now, Father, we love You. And we want nothing more than Your name to be glorified today. Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place. And I pray that the walls of this building would shake just as when they were praying in the first church in Acts chapter 4. Father, we love You. Now may Your name be lifted high. We pray in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we have been in Paul's prayer for the past 4 weeks. We've taken 4 weeks over verses 14 through 21. And at the beginning of it, I talked with you and shared that Paul comes in a state of humility before God. He says, I bow my knees before the Father. And this is a desperate dependency upon God. He's praying a spiritual prayer, as we said, and there's two major focuses here, two specific prayers. One, he's praying that we would grow in the inner man, that we'd be strengthened in the inner man through the Holy Spirit, so that Christ would have his right place in our heart. We talked about that 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you that the second specific prayer is the end of 17 to 19, where Paul is praying that we would know the love of God that surpasses our own understanding. And in that, I shared with you that we have security in God's love. In verse 17, it says at the end, it says, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. I shared with you the example of my daughter and how she knows that Dad loves her. And so she feels secure in that. So we also are secure in our Heavenly Father's love for us. I want to start today by going back for just a moment, because as I was dwelling on that message, I felt like that there was a verse or two that needed to be shared. You know, God's love for us, as I told you, is not just spoken, I love you, but he demonstrated it. There was action behind that love. Romans 5:8, as I've shared with you many times, for God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We see that action, that love, put that action in our Father. But I want you to see in Romans 8:38 and 39, it says this: we are fully secure in God's love, because it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any created thing will be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we live in that security? That our Father loves us. That he gave his Son to die so that we may have life. And today, as we walk in this day and age of COVID-19 everywhere and all the unrest that's happening, do we recognize that we are secure in God's love? And there is nothing that can take that away. There's no virus that can take that away. There's no uprising that can take that away. There's no political leader that can take that away. God's love will never be separated from us. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, I read to you verse 18 last 2 weeks ago, but let me read to you verse 17. This is just powerful. It says, for this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. Think about that for a moment. The reason that we have confidence and not fear of death is because of God's love. When we breathe our last, we will stand before holy God. Those who have died before us have already done something that we have not done, and that is stand before holy God. But in that day, we can have confidence because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice that was paid, demonstration of God's love. We can stand in confidence before the throne. Do you realize that the security that we have in God's love is that when we stand before the throne, he sees the righteousness of Christ, not our filthy rags, but the righteousness of his Son. And he says, come in, my good and faithful servant. The security that we have in God's love is not just while we walk on this earth, but it's also in death. It's also in standing before the throne of God. And for all eternity, we will praise the name of Jesus. Paul, as he writes this prayer, I think it's one of the most intimate prayers that he gives. And he speaks these specific prayers to be strengthened in the inner man, to know the love of the Father that surpasses all knowledge, all human knowledge. Then in verse 20, he goes into what we call a doxology. A doxology. And let me just read to you verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know, I've shared with you that chapters 1, 2, and 3 are the doctrinal statements by Paul. He's teaching and showing through the inspiration of God, writing this letter to the Ephesians, he's saying to them that you must be in Christ before you can do in Christ. The being has to come before the doing. And so chapters 1, 2, and 3 are all about the doctrinal. He's ending with a doxology of praise, and he actually began with a doxology. You may not remember, but 6 months ago when we started Ephesians, we started in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and it says, "Blessed be God and Father." Remember what that word blessed means? To praise, to lift praise, to worship God the Father. He starts with a doxology, and now he's ending this doctrinal portion with a doxology. So let me remind you what doxology means. Doxology is two words, doxa and logos. Doxa is glory and splendor or praise. Logos is the word or speaking. So when you put the two together, doxology is usually a liturgical expression of praise to God. A liturgical expression of praise to God. You know, we say, let's sing the doxology, and we sing praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? But that's actually just a doxology. I think it's actually called the 100 or something, or the 1,100, what's it called? The 100th. Aaron told me the other day, he's like, we're going to sing the 100th on Sunday. I said, what is that? I thought maybe we were going to page number 100 in the hymn book, and I was looking for a hymn. I couldn't find one. So a doxology is a praise to God. Often a liturgical expression. But for us to understand doxology, we have to understand theology. See, theology is two words also, theos, God, logos, word, and the two together is the study of the nature of God or who God is. It's the study of our Father, right? Now, the reason this is important is because if we only have theology, if we just study, but it does nothing in our heart or soul, then we will quickly become very legalistic. What will happen is we'll have all this knowledge that will puff us up. Look at what I know. I got the rules, the regulations, and I'm doing them well. Who does that remind you of? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and those who were so educated in the word, but it had never transformed them. So our theology must push us to a doxology. The study of who God is not about building up my incredible knowledge of God. It's about falling on my face in humility and recognizing who God is and who I'm not. And as I recognize who I'm not, then I get to see who I am in Christ, in God the Father. And that pushes me and pushes you to a place of praise. See, if we have doxology, praise, without theology, then we have idolatry. And let me say it this way. If we have doxology without a proper theology, then we have idolatry. Because that means that we're praising something or someone that's not in the correct view of who God is. Listen, this is very important. Because when we sing praises, Brother Aaron makes sure that the words that we're singing line up with proper theology of who our Father is so that we're not up here focusing on the wrong thing. And listen, doxology is not just about the tongue, because our life and how we live our life is a praise to the Father. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your, what? Bodies, a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Or for some scriptures or some translations, spiritual act of worship. Casting Crowns has a song called Let my life song, y'all have probably heard it on the radio if you listen to K-Love or Power 88, and it says, let my life song sing to you. What he's saying is that when we recognize who God is, it will push us to adoration and praise for the triune God. Listen, the Holy Spirit who dwells within us is doing what? He's continuing to glorify the Father and the Son. And so as we dive into the Word, and as we grow in our theology, it's not just to say, look at what I know. It's that He is transforming us from the inside out. That's the reason why I tell you all the time, we're not looking for behavior modification, but soul transformation. And that's what happens when we get to know our Father. Paul just prayed. In chapter 1, he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of His inheritance, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power. He just prayed in chapter 3 that you would know the love of God that surpasses all knowledge. And now it's leading Paul into a time of praise and adoration of God. Paul's prayed that we would know Him, knowing that when we truly know who God is, and that sinks into deep into our heart, we move into a doxology of praise. So let's look at verse 20. It says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. The first thing that Paul says here is power. He talks about the power of God. He speaks here in just some incredible language. I looked up different commentaries and I watched a couple pastors that were preaching on Ephesians. And all of them, the commentary, the pastors, all of them just were marveling over the words here. I want you to see these words. I'm going to put them up on the screen. So it says, now to Him who is able to do all that we ask or think. Look at this for a second. Paul is saying that God can do all. Now, Brother Fred always shared that he looked up the Greek word for all, and it means, y'all got it. Y'all memorized the quote. God can do all things that we ask or think. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that right there is probably breaking down some of the molds that you have around God. You've placed Him in a box, and you think, well, He can only do this, and He's only doing that, or you may not speak that. But deep down in your heart, it's kind of what you believe. And just to know that God can do all that you think or ask is powerful and breaks down that box that we've tried to put God in. But Paul went further than that. He said, beyond all that we ask or think. Paul says, hey, He can do all you ask or think, but He can do beyond that. He can do more than that, like greater than all. Oh, but then he even goes even further. He said, abundantly beyond all that you even think or ask. And he says, well, I'm not done there. Let's just keep going. He says, more abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. You say, David, why are you doing this? Because I want you to recognize that our God is all-powerful, King of kings, Lord of lords. He can do more abundantly beyond anything you could even think in your mind. Anything that you could even conceivably speak and ask, God is all powerful, greater than even that. Oh, and he goes even further. Far more abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. I don't know about y'all, but it's time that we break the boxes that we put around God about Him not being able to do this or that. And you say, David, I've never, that's not, well, I'm telling you, we can't believe that in our heart either. It's time for us to recognize that God can do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. He is all powerful, King of kings and Lord of lords. Listen, Paul has already said in Ephesians chapter 1 that all authority is under the feet of Jesus. If that doesn't make you shout, then you missed it. He's all powerful and there is no authority that is higher than our God. And not only that, look, he says, let me just go back for a second. Ephesians 1, it says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but the one to come. Paul's like, hey, let me just make sure you recognize there's not going to be any divine that's created that's greater than our God, even in the age to come. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and there is no other. But just in case you missed it, let me just show you what the Old Testament says. In Psalm 62, verse 11, it says, once God has spoken, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God. Now, I understand that we look with our human eyes and we see people in our nation that have power. They even say that the president of the United States, whether a Republican or Democrat, they always say is the most powerful man in the world. Y'all have heard that probably on newscasts. But let me tell you something. Power belongs to who? God. Look at Psalms 147, verses 4 and 5. He counts the number of stars. I mean, just stop there. I mean, really? Does that not make your head just like, just want to spin? You're like, wow, he counts the number of stars. Now, I've counted a few stars, but I don't know how many there are out there. He's counted the number of stars, and he gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. What about in Jeremiah 32, verse 27? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Who is anything too difficult for me? Question mark. Answer. No. No. But then, I love this. Go into the New Testament in Romans chapter 1, verse 10, I believe it is. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. This is just, it says this. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal what? Power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Think about that for a second. When you are walking in nature and you see a tree and you see bushes and plants and animals and all of God's creation, you know what you're seeing? You're seeing the fingerprints of God and you're seeing his eternal power. You say, but David, you plant a seed and it grows up. Like that wasn't a tree that was there at creation. Yes, but who's the giver of life? You're not, and neither am I. Even though I plant a seed and for some reason everything I plant doesn't seem to grow. But even though we plant seeds, God's the one who brings life to that tree. Do you realize that a seed has to die before it actually comes to life? So when we're looking in creation, we see God's eternal power. It's so interesting to me that people will say, well, David, creation happened from an explosion. And no offense, I mean, listen, if you believe that in here today, I'm just going to tell you, it requires more faith for you to believe that than for me to believe in a divine creator. Because every time I've blown up something with fireworks, nothing came together. Not even close. Listen, God's eternal power is on display even in creation. But we miss it, don't we? We just run through life. We miss that the fingerprints of our Father is all over creation. Aaron Keyes, not related to Aaron or to Brother Ed Keyes, but Aaron Keyes wrote a song that said that I want to see God in the ordinary. Every day, his eternal power, his invisible attributes, his divine nature is clearly seen. Which is why at the end of that verse in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, it says that so that you are without excuse. Without excuse. Why? Because it's all on display for you to see. Now our human minds try to think up all these reasons and why things exist and happen. But I can tell you, God has all power. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, the great I am. Isaiah says from the rising of the sun to the going down the same that he is the Lord God and there is no other. Now Paul continues in this and he says, according to the power that works within us. Think about that for a second. We see the power of God is working within us. Now, how is that? We know that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll get there in just a second. But I just want to think back to the Old Testament for a moment. Did we see the power of God in the men of old in the Old Testament? I mean, think about Abraham, who just followed God, like didn't know where he was going, and God took him to the promised land, right? Think about Moses. He walks up to the Red Sea. I mean, the Egyptian army's coming behind him. He walks up to the Red Sea, and God says, raise your staff, Moses. And he does, and just the Red Sea just splits. It actually says in the scripture, y'all have heard me say this, but it was the nostrils of God blew that apart, which I think is interesting. And if I was a kid, if I was there during that time, I would have been the kid running my hands through the water. I'd have been like, man, this is awesome. God's power seen in my... What about Joshua? Hey, we're going to cross the Jordan. I want y'all carrying the ark to step into the Jordan, the mighty rushing water, step in there and trust God. And what happens? And the water dried up. And they crossed on dry land. Then they go to Jericho and they beat Jericho with the marching band. I mean, come on. We see the power of God. What did Rahab say? She said, we know about your God. And fear has fallen upon us. Because we know what your God has done. You know what she's saying? We've seen his eternal power. We've seen his greatness and what he's done to the enemies. What about David? I mean, it just so happened that he threw a rock and it hit Goliath in the middle of the head. No, it was the power of God. And David even admitted to that. He spoke about that. He was like, who are you to defile the living God? He shows up with a slingshot and a rock. Now, I tell people that David was a sharpshooter, because you look in the Old Testament and those who were threw the sling, they could split a hair, it says. That's pretty good. What about the disciples? I mean, the disciples walked up to the guy at the Gate of Beautiful and said, "What I don't have what you want, which is gold and silver, but what I do have in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And the guy leaped up and his ankles formed back together and he was whole. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. What about the first church? When Peter is in prison in Acts chapter 12, if you're coming on Wednesday nights, you've already heard pieces of this. Herod thought he had power. The guards thought they were secure under Herod's power. Peter is in prison going before Herod the next day, and the last person that went before Herod was killed. And Peter's sleeping. I mean, he's sleeping. But guess what the church was doing? Those who were here on Wednesday night, what was the church doing? The church was praying. Oh, yeah. In the night, Peter's sleeping. Doesn't even know if he's awake or asleep, and he's walking out of jail. He's walking out of prison. The next day, those who thought they were secure under the power of Herod, they got killed. The guards got killed. And then at the end of the chapter, Herod goes down to Caesarea by the sea, and he speaks, and they say it's like a god speaking. He didn't correct them, and he fell over dead, and the worms ate him. And the church continued to grow, and Peter was alive. You tell me where the power is. It's in Christ alone. Listen, Herod thought that he had all political power and strength, and he fell over dead by the end of the chapter. And the church, who was on their knees in prayer, oh, they had power. And it wasn't because of their own ability or strength. It was because they humbly fell before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is their Father, their heavenly Father. And the power of the Holy Spirit that dwelt within them. And Peter was released from prison. That's why Peter was sleeping. He was okay with it. If God releases me, praise God, and I keep going. And if I lose my life, praise God, I'm with him forever, for all eternity, more alive than he's ever been. He was confident in God's love, as it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. What about people like Brother Fred? We saw God move through people like Brother Fred and still moving through Brother Ed. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit that works within us, that Paul's saying in verse 20, according to the same power, the power that works within us. It says this, in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive what? Power. Dunamos or dunamis, or it's the same word we get dynamite from. And it's the same word in Acts 1:8 that we see here in Ephesians 3:20. You shall receive power when what? The Holy Spirit comes upon you. Look at the difference between Peter. He is denying Christ three times, scared on the boat. Power of the Holy Spirit fills him, and he stands up and says, let me tell you about what's going on here. This guy who was so afraid and denying Christ is now proclaiming him with boldness and confidence, not in his own power, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was within him. And in Romans chapter 8:11, I love this verse. Y'all probably heard the Jeremy Camp song that says the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. Y'all have heard that song before? If not, go listen to it. But it says this in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead dwells within us. So what does this mean? Paul is praising the Father, praising the Son, praising the Spirit, that they are together, the triune God, all powerful. I believe that it means that we need to make sure that we not just pray, but we pray big prayers. Now let me be careful when I say that. Because I don't mean pray for a new Mustang convertible. I don't mean a prosperity gospel here. It's not about, Lord, give me a bigger bank account. It's not about any of that. Look at what Paul prayed. He just prayed in verse 19. That you would be filled to the fullness of God. That's the biggest prayer I know how to pray. That you would be filled to the fullness of God. We just talked about how we can't even fathom how powerful God is. And he's praying that you would be filled to the fullness. Listen, when we even see a glimpse of God's glory, it's scratching the surface of how big and infinite he is. The universe is measured by his hand. He spoke and stars came out of his mouth. He spoke and earth existed. Do you not think that one of the biggest prayers we could pray is that you would be filled to the fullness of God? See, I think that for us to recognize even praying big prayers, and what I mean by praying big prayers is don't put limitations on God. But Psalms 37:4, I think, is how you put that into perspective. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, we all like the second part. He'll give us the desires of our heart. But that's after the first part. Delight yourself what? In the Lord. So when we know God, when we delight ourselves in who he is, and it leads us into doxology of praise, our desires begin to be crucified with the flesh, and the desires that we now have are God's desires. See, inside of us changes because our theology is causing and bringing about a doxology of praise and adoration of our God. Do you delight yourself in the Lord? Do you seek his face? Do you pray to him knowing that he is all-powerful, King of kings, Lord of lords? We don't have to be timid. Well, God, maybe you'll do this, maybe that. Let's just cry out to our Father who loves us. And he demonstrated that. I've already told you by sending his Son to die for you and I. Then Paul continues on in verse 21. He says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. That is an interesting statement. To God be the glory in the bride and the bridegroom. In the bride and the bridegroom. Now, it's very easy for us to understand in Jesus Christ, right? Because we all know in John chapter 1, it says this in verse, I believe it's 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw what? His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. So when we think about God receiving glory through the bridegroom, it's very easy for us to understand because of the Trinity. Jesus is a reflection of the Father. They're in perfect unity. Jesus has submitted to the Father's will, though he's fully God. It says that all throughout the Scriptures. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, the triune God. So we understand how Jesus is the glory of God, as it speaks here, that God receives glory in the bridegroom. But let's look at the bride. That's the church. That's you and I as the body of Christ. And Paul speaks about this in Ephesians 5. If you flip the page there, it says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." Here it is. "So that he," Jesus, "might sanctify her," the body of Christ, the bride, "cleanse her," the bride, "by washing of water," with what? "The word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." Now think about this for a moment. What did God say in the Old Testament? "You shall be holy as I am holy." How do we become sanctified, or how does the sanctification process in our life work? How does God be glorified in the bride? Well, we see that by the washing of the word. In John 15, it says, verse 5, it says that if you abide, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me," Jesus, who was just said in John 1:14, is the word, right? It says, "If you abide in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So the transformation that takes place in our life, the growth, the sanctification, the fruit that comes forth from our life, all of it is from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every bit of it. Listen, you and I cannot grow apart from God. We cannot grow apart from God. Apart from him, you can do what? Nothing. But what I've shared with you so often is the book of Romans says that we're called to be conformed to the image of who? To Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, we're called to be imitators of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, we're called to walk worthy of the calling. So what is all this about? When we abide in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, comes forth from our life, and we begin to reflect the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We begin to be conformed to the image of Christ. Which means that God receives glory because we can't tell anybody that we've done this. Who I am today, if I were to tell you that I was the one who was able to save my life and transform my life into one who's walking according to the word, it would be heresy. It's only God who does that in and through me. I can't take any credit for that. So who I am growing in Christ brings glory to the Father because the Father did it in and through me. Let's continue on in John 15. It says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Look at verse 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Whoa. We're glorified through the washing of the word, right? And when we abide in the word, you can ask and it will be done. Wait, this all goes back to Ephesians in his prayer. That God would be glorified in and through our lives by the transformation that's taken place by abiding in His Word and letting that wash over us and us recognizing how powerful and big our God is, that whatever we ask will be done according to His will. As it says, we delight ourselves in the Lord and He will give us the desires of our heart. And then it continues on. My Father is glorified in this, right? I'm just saying that God gets glory in the church. Why? That you bear much fruit. God's glorified in the body of Christ when we bear fruit, when we love one another, when we walk in unity, when we encourage one another, when we faithfully admonish one another, when we counsel biblically with one another, when we pray for one another. Why? Because we can't do that in our wretched self. We can't do that in our broken state. But God gives us life, raises us with Christ in the heavenly places and seated us with Him. And then the fruit begins to come forth. And what's the first one? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And the reason that part is in there is because if you truly believe in Christ, if you've truly been transformed, you will abide in Him and fruit will come forth of your life. If you're not abiding in Him, you can do what? Nothing. So Paul says here, I pray that to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ. And then he says this at the end, and to all generations. We serve the everlasting God, don't we? We serve a God who will always be. As it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All authority is under the foot of Jesus in this day and the ones to come. We serve an eternal God, an everlasting King. There will never be any change of power in the heavenlies. God will always be on the throne. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we recognize who our God is, as we see how powerful He is, as we see that we bring glory to the name of Jesus when we abide in Him and the Holy Spirit bears fruit through our lives, it must take us to a place of doxology. It must take us to a place of praise. Praise the name of Jesus. Why? Because if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, none of this would even be able to happen in our lives. But because of His sacrifice, because He stepped down from heaven in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 12, because you've heard the gospel and believed Ephesians 1, verse 17, we've been set free. And now we get to know our Father. And in knowing our Father, we praise our Father. We praise Him with our tongue. And we praise Him with our life as we abide in Him. And so as we close today, instead of having a time of normal response, and listen, the altar is going to be always open. You can come in the middle of me teaching. You're welcome to come down anytime. But we're going to sing praises to the Father. We're going to let our theology and who God is in our life and what He's showing us as He opens the eyes of our heart, we're going to let that lead us to a time of praise to our Father. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close this time and continue to worship the living God. Father, we praise Your holy name. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there is none like You. As it says in Isaiah, from the rising of the sun to the going down the same, You are the Lord God, and there is no other. Father, it says that all power is Yours. Father, even the kings of this land's hearts are in Your hand. You're the Creator God who spoke and earth existed. And Father, You loved us so much that we can stand confidently before Your throne on the day of judgment because of Your Son, Jesus Christ, paid for our sins on the cross. Father, I pray that if there's anybody in this room today who has never submitted to your lordship, I pray today would be the day of salvation. I pray that they would run to you and submit their life under your authority, O God. And Lord, as you continue to reveal more and more of who you are to us, and as we continue to grow in you, Father, I pray that we would praise your name, that our life song would sing a praise of adoration to our Father. So, Father, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory, honor, and praise. It's in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Would y'all stand right now as we sing praises to our Father?
Let's sing together, praising his name.
Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, now wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkness night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. And if you're walking through the valley and there's shadows all around, do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And his word is true. God is good all the time. Put a song, y'all can clap. Praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still he chose for us to die. And fill us with his Holy Spirit. And we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting. And his mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good, he's so good. God is good, he's so good. God is good. He's so good. He's so good all the time.
Amen, amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
Sing it out, this.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Give Him some praises.